Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Mike Griffith from the AJC, DogNation.com. Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. I think you've had interaction with Tennessee fans in the past. What did you think seeing the game, everything else, Saturday night with Tennessee and Ole Miss?
Wow. Well, I mean, first of all, you know, the late arriving party just wants to shrink this down to one moment in time. And that's just not the right way to approach this. So I guess I would start out by saying that I don't obviously condone what happened, but what upsets me or disappoints me is the irresponsibility of the national media that isn't looking at everything that it went into Saturday night. That was the overflow, but this is like a plane crash. Okay. It doesn't just all of a sudden happen. You got to go back and look at where the mistakes were made, where the rivets were popped, where the problems started. Let me tell you, Lane Kiffin is the jerk that instigated a lot of what happened. Now, I'm not blaming him for it, but he instigated it. There was a history here, and from the time that we saw this game on the schedule, we knew there was a potential for things to be a little crazy and a little different. It was going to take some things. It was going to take some circumstances. First of all, I don't appreciate that nobody's reminding Lane Kiffin or telling the part of the story that this guy was an immature jerk who was irresponsible in the community for a year and put Tennessee under probation for 3 years that bled over into the next two coaching staffs. That has been conveniently removed from the story and swept under the rug. And that's irresponsible to me. So that's step number one of what happened. Two, from the time this game came out, we knew this was coming. Lane Kiffin has instigated, tormented, and trolled Tennessee fans all week leading up to the game. He brought more attention and more vitriol to the table. Three, this is the first time that there's been a sold-out Neyland Stadium crowd since alcohol sales was allowed. I don't care who the opponent was going to be. The first Neyland Stadium night game sellout was going to be crazy. Then you add to the fact that you had some very questionable officiating going on that went very, very strong against the home team. Again, wouldn't have mattered who the opponent was. That was going to be an upset crowd at some of those calls. And then the questionable injuries from Kiffin and his staff. You know, and you wonder. It's fair to wonder. I can't tell you which kid was cramped up and which one wasn't, but because of the number of guys on the turf, it's fair for me to wonder that. So, no, the crowd shouldn't have did what they did. That's wrong. That should never be acceptable. That's not the right way to act. But if we backtrack and we look at the circumstances, we can understand why it happened. How about this? How about the SEC office steps in and tells Lane Kiffin to stop instigating and to grow up and stop acting like a high schooler? Unfortunately, there's too many people on Twitter that are fanboys and condone that behavior and think that's really cool. I stopped thinking stuff like that was cool about my junior year of high school, okay? So there's a lot that went into Saturday night, and forgive me for being upset and venting, but no one else in the media is talking about that. No one else in the national media. They don't want to focus on and somehow Lane Kiffin walks out of here as a victim. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
it's wild what has happened over the last 48 hours here, Mike, and then over, as you point out, the last 12 years. Is Tennessee ever going to be able to move past all this messiness?
Yeah, they'll move past it. I mean, it's going to take time. I mean, this is, you know, Heupel's first year. This team had good momentum. That was a winnable game. I mean, you know, if the Warren kid reaches the ball out, it's a first down, and they probably score on the drive, you know. But, hey, credit Tennessee for fighting until the end. Overcoming, again, some difficult calls, which happen in games. It's part of the game. Sometimes the calls go against you, sometimes they go for you. And I've covered college football enough to you know, see it go both ways. It went against you Saturday night. Ain't no two ways about it. Ole Miss got the whistle, period, in Neyland Stadium. That's what happened. We saw it, okay? There weren't any questionable calls going the Orange's way. And sometimes that happens. But again, it's isolated. It's one incident. It's something everybody learns from. There'll be rules. There'll be punishments. There'll be all sorts of things that'll put this night into perspective. Again, at some point, somebody may tell the rest of the story. But right now, ESPN's in control, and obviously they love Lane Kiffin. They've written about how this guy's remade himself into a perfect person. I don't know how many stories I've read there. And I look, it's the same guy. But, you know, I guess, you know, if the right people are telling the story, that's the narrative that sticks. But, yeah, eventually Tennessee will overcome. And I've seen enough good things from this year's Tennessee team to be encouraged at the direction of the program. You know, you just got to hope the guys keep fighting. I mean, this annual game with Alabama has been a backbreaker for the program for years. We know that. That's the hand you've been dealt. At least for now, maybe it changes once Oklahoma and Texas join. You know, we'll see if they maintain the, you know, all-time rivalries. I covered Alabama when Tennessee was beating them, and it was just as tough on that Alabama. Well, it wasn't just as tough, but it was tough on that Alabama staff, right? So, you know, survive the Alabama game, you know, compete, and see where the chips fall. See if Tennessee collects itself and, you know, gets a couple more wins and gets that 6-7 wins, gets a good bowl opponent, gets something to build on and recruit to. But I think they'll move past it. I'm just disappointed at the late arriving crowd that just, you know, comes and sees Tennessee fans mad and says, oh boy, that's just a bad fan base. And they don't even take into consideration what a jerk Lane Kiffin was and how much he damaged the program in his short amount of time in that town.
We're talking to Mike Griffith. The AJC covers Georgia as well for DogNation.com. Mike, around the SEC, I did not see LSU's upset over Florida. Ed Orgeron's going to be moving on after this year. Not a good loss for Dan Mullen. So I guess it's a two-parter there. But thoughts there with LSU coming open. But also, Dan Mullen, they can't be happy in Gainesville with that loss after just losing to Kentucky a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, the good news for them is there's a chance for, you know, immediate vindication if they can somehow beat Georgia in the cocktail party. They got a week off. They got a quarterback change coming, it looks like, with Richardson. Looks like they're on the verge of that. Maybe. I don't know. It could be. Looked like that was the move that was made. Does it stick for Georgia? You know, time will tell. You know, that game against Georgia is really going to kind of tell the tale of the Gators this season. I know Dan Mullen just got a raise. He got a show cause penalty, but he also got a raise. You know, these ADs are doing that now. You know, yo, your coach is caught cheating. Hey, we'll give you a raise. Wasn't it just 10 years ago that they insisted they had to fire Bruce Pearl? You know, for a show cause. Now Jimbo Fisher, Dan Mullen gets show causes, they get raises and extensions. You know, what a different world we live in these days, right? I didn't see that coming either, Josh. And I think, you know, I said on the program a couple weeks ago, I thought that the loser of the LSU-Auburn game would be looking for a new coach before next season. I didn't necessarily think it would be this fast, but what's probably happened is they probably already found the guy, and that guy's probably going to finish out the season. In my mind, that's probably what's going on. You know, the fact that Orgeron's going to finish out the year is curious, though, because it, again, you know, I referenced Tennessee because, honestly, it's been at the center of the college football universe as far as things that happened. And the reason I think that's curious, again, people not doing their history, when Kiffin left Tennessee, Ed Orgeron was encouraging midterm enrollees not to go to class at Tennessee, trying to steal recruits that were coming to Tennessee that they'd recruited and misdirect them. And you're going to leave this guy in charge at LSU and with the recruiting? I just, you know, I know they say he's going to finish the year, but there's a part of me that really wonders about this, especially when you look at his personal life and how quickly might that go off the rails and how many things have been covered up. Now we're starting to see reports of, you know, girlfriends at practice and this and that. And, you know, now that he's not the head coach, I mean, you know, whoever was protecting him and giving him his Lexus deal or pulling his Lexus out of the ditch, nobody's going to be protecting that information anymore. So, to me, that's a really curious decision, and I'll be surprised if Ed Orgeron really does finish the year at LSU.
Hey, I wanted to ask you really quickly about Georgia and is there a quarterback controversy brewing? Stetson Bennett, another big win, beat, you know, Kentucky, who was undefeated going into that game. Just what do you make of the situation around Stetson Bennett and JT Daniels?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Stetson's done a decent job, but would he start for any other team in the SEC? I don't think so. You know, JT Daniels is an incredible talent. I mean, he's got great arm talent, you know, real steely disposition, you know, just one of those Southern California guys that doesn't get rattled. And he's a real student of the game. I mean, you know, he sees the whole field, opens the whole playbook. Some people say, well, he can't run like Stetson Bennett. He doesn't need to. You know, he's 9 of 9 on his third down conversion throws in SEC play. And, you know, I think Stet's about 4 out of 13 if you can get him into the situation where he has to throw. You know, the thing for, you know, Georgia is I don't know that anybody can get him into a shootout other than maybe Alabama. And I don't think Stetson Bennett's the quarterback that's going to win that kind of shootout. JT Daniels is. If you've got a quarterback that can move the ball and throw like he can throw with that proficiency, I don't want to, you know, it kind of gives you a little bit more of a margin for error. But that Georgia defense, as good as it's looked, you know, if that's Alabama across from them on a neutral field last Saturday, they've got probably 3 or 4 touchdowns in the first half. They're susceptible in the secondary. I've said that all year. Tennessee's going to put 17 on them, you know, in a few weeks. If the Vols hold it together and if the Mays brothers stay healthy. I saw Cade was out of the game the other night. I don't know what happened there. But that's a guy you need in there because he's a force on the offense. You need Cade Mays on the field. But getting back to Georgia, I don't think it's a controversy. I think how Kirby handles it will obviously be scrutinized heavily because there's a lot of folks that have kind of regionalized this. Stetson's a good old boy from Georgia. You know, you want the good old boy to – he's worked so hard, doggone it. You know that. You want that story. You know, but, you know, push comes to shove. You need to put your best guy on the field, and it's JT Daniels hands down.
I would agree with that. It'll be interesting to see how everything plays out. We're here now halfway through the season for a lot of teams. Mike, we appreciate the time as always. Read his work at the AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, as well as DogNation.com. Find him on Twitter at MikeGriffith32. Mike, thank you for the time as always. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.